Hey, everybody, you're listening to That'll Work. I'm Brooke.
And I'm Ashley.
And today we are talking about cold weather boredom busters, or what the heck do you do with kids when the weather is not something you want to do with outside, whether it's too hot or too cold, but you still got these kids with all this energy.
Yes, Lord.
So, Ashley, I know you have a newborn and you have a very energetic school-age kid. So when it's like it is right now we're recording, it's 2020. It is the winter. We are in a cold weather climate and these kids still want to bounce and jump around as if we had the ability to go to a park all day or go swimming or something that we just don't have the ability to do right now. So like, what do you do with these dang kids?
So it's interesting, right? I feel like no parent ever feels like they have it perfect.
Yeah.
I have a 6-month-old and a 5-year-old, and they're two completely different age spectrums, right? Like Grayson, I can sit him in front of Baby Einstein or put a few toys in front of him, and he is like happy, you know, give me my bottle, here are my toys. But my 5-year-old is way more demanding of my attention, believe it or not, of building things. So we're doing a lot of STEM type toys. He got a microscope for Christmas. And so he wants to go collect samples so he can study what's under, you know, what's in them. And so it's really cool in that respect. But sometimes I'm like, you got all these toys. Is there a Power Ranger we could be doing right now or something? But he's at school, they're learning to label, to draw, and to write and read. And so he's finding his stride in drawing pictures and labeling them or building things. And so yesterday we got out Bananagrams and we said we're going to spell as many words as we know how to with Bananagrams. And although that was not his favorite activity, I tried to incorporate some of the school things that he's doing in a fun way so that we're learning all the time. But I mean, you've got 3. So what are you all doing?
Yeah, it changes every day. And I think that when we have good structure, it helps, you know, I'll just be selfish. It helps me with the day to go through. So if we kind of have a structure where we know, okay, in the morning, here are the sort of activities that they can do or we can do as a family. And then after breakfast, here's what to expect and here's what to expect before nap. So I know that if I'm being my best self, I kind of have a way we're plotting out the day, even if that day is like, we're just going to be lounging around in pajamas and watching movies and playing board games. And that's just the day, let it flow. But my kids are very, and I'm grateful that my husband told me he was like this as a kid, because I don't think I was, but shoot, I don't remember. But he said he was always like looking for the next thing. Like, oh, cool, we just painted. What are we going to do next? Oh, cool, we just went to the park. What's next? What's next? And I'm like, dude, guys, I'm out of ideas. What's next? Yeah. Mom's going to sit down. That's what's next. But the more that we can have something to look forward to in the day. So like if we're not going to do anything in the morning, to say, all right, after nap, we are going to all build a fort. That's what's happening today. Our big thing is build a fort. You know, our big thing is go get ice cream, or a big thing is whatever it is. I don't know if that's the right way to parent, but that kind of helps my kids to have something to look forward to. And like right now, before we started doing this conversation, I set them up with paint in the unfinished part of our basement and just kind of gave them, here's the rules of the road, wear the smock, here's the paint, here's what you do. And I'll probably come back down to a disaster. I'm pretty confident of that. But that was something that I felt, you know, at their ages, the oldest being 7, that they could probably police, you know, in an unfinished part of the basement for just long enough to not get into too much trouble. But I definitely think that some kind of specific activity of like painting or doing an indoor obstacle course.
Ooh, that's
like fun. The kids love to play floor is lava, put pillows down the floor, and or, you know, I can tell them, hey, go build an obstacle course and then I'm going to watch you do it. So that'll give me a few minutes. But yeah, the more specific, the better in my household. But
yeah,
it's hard, right?
I mean, the good thing is that they can build those things together. Like, you're tasked to do this. So we are, one of the things that I have to keep reminding my five-year-old is like his independence, right? So he's like, Mom, I need help when I send him or I task him to do something like go draw a picture or go put this together. It's Mom, I need help. Mom, I need help. And it's not that he really wants my help or needs my help. Sometimes it's, okay, I'm trying to ask him more specific questions like, you need my help doing what? How do you want me to help? And a lot of times, it's, I don't know. Okay, so then you don't really need help. You just want me to be near you. So why don't you come in the kitchen where I'm like prepping dinner or, you know, getting snacks ready or whatever the case may be, whatever else is going on, so that I can be near you because that is what you are really looking for. But painting, I get scared with painting by himself, man.
I think three kids is the point where, at least in my life, I'm like, whatever, stuff can get messed
up. I'm
not
going to have nice stuff until you're grown.
I'm not going to have nice stuff. Yeah, our carpet will continue to have mysterious spills on it. And that's, you know, not ideal. But we'll keep it confined to a certain area. Yeah, I'm trying to do a better job of like getting like helping them to be creative on their own, like you said. So since my kids haven't been in school for a long time with virtual school, we're trying to get back into the habit of, I know they're way more independent at school than they are at home or at daycare or preschool than they are at home. So like last night I said, okay, guys, you've gotten these new dolls and doll accessories that they got from family members as gifts. So I said, okay, all the dolls are set up in this room. You guys get 25 minutes. Now, not all of them can tell time, so it don't really matter. So you get 25 minutes to do whatever you want with the dolls. It's doll world time. So go up there and have fun. And what I really meant in my mind was, I need a break from you, and I would like to sit down with a glass of wine. And so I need you to go in a room somewhere away from me as much as I love you. That's what I meant. But I tried to hype it up. And my three-year-old was stoked by that. If I would have said, you have to go and get in that room and play with dolls, she would have been like, no, I don't want to. But I hyped it up, and my optimistic, excited voice psyched them out, and it worked. So Mason, my oldest, was super excited. She said, oh, this is great. We haven't done a doll world before. I have so many ideas. And usually, you know, there comes a point where they're like, okay, come up. Now we have to show you. And this was one of the rare times where they didn't want to or need to show me anything. They were just happy to be doing it for the love of it. And I really want to see them have that intrinsic motivation of like, we're happy to play together as siblings. We enjoy it for the fun of it, not to, you know, get a gold star or for somebody to see it. I know that's balance, but I was glad that one worked. I didn't think it worked.
See, you're super good at that. Like, of like, you know, when the kids are all together, of saying, hey, why don't you guys do this fun thing? And I'm like, hey, go find something that like that. So I have to work on that, like that, the optimistic voice. Because I always feel like at the point that I'm like, I need a break, I'm already like irritated. Like, I just need a breather, man.
I feel like it's a balance though, because I also don't want my kids to go through life thinking like, and where's the person who's going to present me with a fun proposal? Yep. I'm waiting. Where is that? It's like, no, sometimes you go to work, you do your job. You know, I still remember a first grade teacher when we were in class. I don't know why this stands out to me so much, but we had all done something in first grade. Like we'd all sat down at our seats quietly after recess or something. And we raised our hand and we're like, oh, do we get a point? Do we get a gold star or whatever the thing was of the day? And she got irritated and she was like, look, I'm an adult. When I stop at a stop sign, nobody gives me a gold star. I do it because I'm supposed to. And those are the rules and that's life. And I remember thinking like, huh, okay, there's some things you just do because you're supposed to do them. Like there's no reward for that. And so I need to balance that out with my kids too. So it doesn't feel like every, you know, sometimes you do. You just need to go figure something out. You don't always have someone on a silver platter to serve it up for you.
Exactly. So just to kind of reverse or kind of loop us back around here. So what would be your like top three mom tips, right? If you had to say, speaking to another mom like myself, what would you say would be like your top three boredom buster like tips or tricks?
Great question. That's gonna be a combination of things that I do and a combination of things that I don't do that I wish I did. So yeah, let's hop into that. So one is one that I don't do that I wish I did, but when we do it in pockets, it works. So one would be to have a good structure in terms of organization. So if your kids know that the Legos are stored here, when you play with Legos, you take them out of here. When you're done with Legos, you put them back. And same thing goes for craft supplies, paper and pencils. And same thing goes for electronics. And same thing goes for building supplies and things like that. Then I think it's really easy to say, all right, it's Lego time. You guys know where they are. Go take them out. And when I tell you it's time to put them up, you put them up. So then there's a board and buster and it's independence and they can go and they can do it. The second one I would say is to try to engage with them in new activities. So that would be where the obstacle course comes in. I can remember my mom, who's super creative, when we were in the coronavirus and we really were only seeing them. She saw online like a relay race idea with kids and parents where you take like plastic cups and run them back and forth and have to like kind of crawl like a crab and then you'd have to hop over the cups. And we had the most fun doing that. And we were sliding and slipping on the floor and the kids wore out a lot of energy. And I thought, you know, that just took a little bit of time to think, how can I engage the kids? How can I have fun with them? And it costs no money and no extra prep. And then the kids got really into it too and saying, okay, next time, let's say you have to zigzag between the cups. And then the next time you have to bullfrog hop over the cup. So engaging with them in something that's unusual or it's outside the bounds of what they would normally do, especially because then it wears them out. You know, you get them tired. And then the third one, I would say a boredom buster would be to find a way to integrate, like you do, Ashley, education into what you're doing. So if it's walking around the house and saying, I need you to find things that start with the letter B. And if you can write, you write them down. If you can't write, you draw a picture of them. If you can't draw, come and you, I want you to remember them, you know, keep them in your brain. And then you're going to walk me through and find all the things that start with letter B. That's something, again, that doesn't take any money, but it kind of has that zest for learning and they're keeping their, you know, just their skills sharp while still having fun. What would you add to the list, Ash?
Let's see. I think I don't, you know what? I don't know if I would add anything else. I think finding things that they really enjoy doing or things that you might think they enjoy doing. This summer we had a lot of fun painting rocks, and making a rock garden around the garden of vegetables that we planted. And so it's like a two for one, right?
Nice.
Like we planted these tomato and jalapeno plants and a strawberry plant, and then we put some rocks around it. And then it was, I made him keep a little journal of growth of what he saw every day,
Oh.
his plant changing. Just looping in that educational piece, I feel like is big. So I don't know that I would add anything to that list. I felt like those were great tips that I would myself look to do as well. But I mean, I don't think I could have said it better myself.
Well, awesome. How about we take a quick break and then we come back with more ideas for how to keep your kids engaged when they're bored and you're tired?
All right, so we are back. We left off talking about a little bit about the tips that we felt like are the best for boredom hacks, right? Boredom busters during COVID or during winter months or summer months or whatever your kids are bored. But I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about knowing what keeps your kiddos focus. For me, I feel like that changes from week to week because it could be Power Rangers, it could be Paw Patrol, like his interests change so often. But and then I don't want it to be too schooly during the week, like the weekend, because I feel like that's enough and they already have a hard time separating home from school because they're, you know, at least for my kid, it's one in the same right now. But, you know, drawing, coloring, which in the past has not kept his focus at all. Like he had no interest in sitting down and drawing something until recently, really, like this year. He could sit down and focus on maybe building something or watching something, but like drawing something, he's just, it, you know, I was like, well, you're not gonna be an artist. It's not clearly what's keeping your focus. But he's really gotten into an art, more artistic side, where he wants to paint and he wants to draw. And so I don't know if that's a developmental thing of like his age, where that side of your brain starts to be more dominant or you know, influential. I'm not sure, but he's wanted to paint and draw and label, which are all great things. I'm totally for it, because drawing pictures takes like a long amount of time. But what do you find are keeping your girls focused?
Well, the things that keep their focus the best are things that I shouldn't probably allow. So tablets, I mean, that's what keeps their focus the best. And I mean, just keeping it all the way real, one of the things that I need to do a better job of is vetting what they watch.
Oh my gosh, yes.
We used to be pretty, I mean, strict might not be the right word of it, but, you know, as a working mom, and all moms are working moms for sure, but as somebody who works outside of the house, and I have the type of job that I allow it to creep into home life sometimes. Mm-hmm. I really like my job, and so I kind of think about it and answer emails beyond when I should. So I need to do better balance about that. But I say all that to say, when I used to have less kids or would feel like kind of I had more discretionary time in the evenings, I would really spend a lot of time about what they could watch. And it was pretty much PBS Kids. That was pretty much it. They watched PBS Kids. I felt like that was a safe resource, and that it had, you know, humor and creativity, but also some really great values that aligned with our family. So Daniel Tiger for sure has helped me be a better parent, because I mean, I'll start singing songs sometimes. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
The
model great behavior is in Daniel Tiger. I was watching it the other day. I was like, I don't know if I would have said that. Thank you, Meow Meow's mom.
For sure. I'm like elementary, I mean, kind of probably third grade on down. Nothing wrong with little PBS Kids to help up your parenting skills. I wouldn't mind if that was required watching at some point of having a child.
Yep.
But now as I have more kids and they get older, I've gotten a little bit more lax, especially with all the quarantining of 2020. Mm-hmm. So they have tablets and they have we got Disney Plus, and I used to really be one of those moms who was like, Disney is so sassy, I'm not going to be letting my kids watch all that stuff. And lo and behold, they found their own stuff, and I haven't stopped it. So I want to do a better job at pre-vetting shows, and my husband's way better at it than me. He's like, you just take it away. There's no, you know, you just stop it. You just take the, so I need to log on and figure out how to block certain things. But just, you know, want to empathize with anybody else out there who's like, yeah, the train has left the station, but we can always pull it back. You know, it's our choice. We're the parents.
Yeah.
But I think tablets is something that I need to get a better hold on. And I signed up for this new creativity school. It's called Ari's Creativity School. And we haven't done it yet, but I think it's going to be a good idea of a type of replacement where you can still have the satisfaction of being on a tablet and watching something, but you're also being creative at the same time. So it's showing you how to make a collage or how to draw a robot or cool things like that. So
very cool.
Yeah. I'm looking for replacements like that.
Oh, so like when I said that, like, he's interested in drawing, that is outside of TV. Like, that is like secondary to Disney Plus. Like, I was so anti Disney Plus at first, and, you know, no hate to Disney or anything. I was just like, we don't need another streaming service.
Yeah.
And then when it looked like we're going to be in COVID for a while, I was like, all right, I'm just going to get Disney Plus. And some of the, I don't do a great job of vetting the shows that he watches either. And so sometimes he'll say, oh, such and such did this and they were doing this. And I'm like, not on Disney Plus, they weren't. but, you know, Disney Plus has every Disney thing. And so they're not all suited for his age. And sometimes they're not harmful things that he's saying. They're just not age appropriate for him as of yet.
Yeah.
So I have to do a better job of that too. But he's not a huge tablet person. Like, he's on his iPad for school.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, it's, first of all, it's hardly ever charged.
Like, That's convenient.
So there's that. Yeah. So it's mostly dead all the time. So, and so there's not a, but he is a big like Netflix, like he knows how to get to and maneuver that. And so I don't know how I should feel like as a parent that my 5-year-old can get maneuvered through Netflix and find the shows he likes. And, you know, I don't know.
I think it's happening younger and younger, and that's something we can both work on and improve, and maybe we can be accountability buddies to each other and see how that's going. Because these kids are sponges, and we know, you know, the abundance of the heart is what the mouth speaks. So I'm trying to pour into them things that I'm more proud of, but also give myself grace that they're going to hear these things in the world at some point. So let's, if they see them, let's, you know, be responsible how we address them.
Yeah.
So, at least for me, that's what's not working so hot. What's something that you are proud of? Like, what's something that's happened in this last week where you think, way to go, mama. Us moms need to get comfortable, you know, being proud of ourselves and making statements on our accomplishments. What'd you do? That was great, Ashley.
So, so one of the things that I wanted to get back to is, so every night, Courtney and I would have story time, like, I used to be super structured in our routine. It was bath, books in bed after dinner. And, you know, lights out by 8. And so I'm trying to get back to that because I felt like that's when I got my mama reprieve right from the dairy and got to, you know, watch my shows that maybe you should have some guilt about, like Housewives, but, you know, whatever. So I've gotten back to that this week with both boys now. And I think it's a combination of things, right? Like being in the house all day, it's easier to kind of snap out of those routines or get more relaxed. And the fact that I have a newborn that I'm sleep training, I think is mostly of what it is. Like I'm just tired.
Yeah. So, give yourself that grace.
Yeah. So he picks 2 books and then I pick 2 books and he reads his 2 books and I read my 2 books. And we do that with the 3 of us together. And so, like, while my husband's working or whatever he's, you know, doing. But the bath, books, bed, especially the book time, I feel like is super special for me, at least, to have that time with the boys that they're calm and they're listening. And it's just, like, a nice, warm snuggle before they go to sleep. Aww. And before I, like, take some time. So I've really been enjoying getting back to my books. What about you?
That's so beautiful. I feel like that was a little parenting video I just watched. And it would be a hilarious contrast to see my house at night where I'm like, I don't know if you brush your teeth or not, but you got to get in that bed. Lights out. Bye. Love you. Good night. Good night. I mean, yeah, the bedtime is a lot more chaotic in our house. So I love that contrast. And I am going to not feel guilty about how chaotic our bedtime is, but instead take one step at a time to get closer to an ideal state. So amen. That, what, you know, something that I'm proud of is really, really small. because I'm not always so good at thinking like this. So I'm going to keep challenge myself. And I hope any moms listening challenge themselves too, to think like, what's something that went well this week? Cause we need to reflect on that.
Yeah.
But I let, the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old make lemonade together this week. And I'm proud of that because I didn't want to do it. It was going to be easier for me to do it myself. And there's not a whole lot that any of us have control over in this world right now. So the fact that I slowed down and said, like, yes, you can help with this. And we cut lemons and they squeezed it. And that's not how we made the whole lemonade. That would have taken all day. So we also added lemonade powder from the grocery store, whatever brand of Aldi's lemonade powder or something that it was. But they did it together and it was stickier and messier that way. And I cut it off at a certain point because the 3-year-old wanted to stir all day long and keep spilling on the counter. So we were able to say, good job. It's all done. But they got to help. And I think that just a small moment of letting them help in a way that worked. I'm proud of. I'm glad we did that.
Yay. I hate messes. I really do. Like, I guess you probably wouldn't be able to tell from coming in my house because I feel like it's a walking mess. But so that, like, that's huge though, right? Like, to let them do something you know is going to be a mess. Like, Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, and it wasn't, now you get to pour it all over the floor. You know, there's boundaries in this, but let's, exactly. You know, they were proud to help, let them help. So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to this next week. I hope that, you know, we just keep focusing on what's in our control and that we keep looking at those little moments and having joy in them and forgiving ourselves and moving on for the moments that don't go well. And just knowing that we've got a huge job raising these tiny humans and we're doing a dang good job.
Amen to that. I think that'll conclude our episode for today. So join us next time when we're tackling more mama issues. And if you have suggestions or things you might want to hear about, let us know.
That'll work.
Thanks so much for listening to That'll Work with Brooke and Ashley. See you next time.